Couple of announcements this morning before we begin. If there's anyone interested in being baptized, we've got two or three that are ready to be baptized. And if that is where you are and you would like to follow in believer's baptism, if you will get with Brother Arnold, he would be more than happy to make that happen. Also, on February 25th, we are going to have a graduation. Dwight Raven has about eight people, I guess, that have gone through, it's called A Journey of Hope. And it's something that was created from the Cancer Center Treatments of America. And it allows those who have gone through cancer to minister to those who are going through cancer, and it is to provide them hope. And I think, again, there's eight people in our church that has gone through that training. So we're going to have a graduation day for those eight people on February 25th of the second service. So mark your calendar, be a part. Also, Paige has introduced us to a new Bible app. It's called YouVersion. There's a flyer in your handout. It's a pretty awesome version. There's a lot of things that you could do with it. So you can download that on your telephones or your mobile phones. I think it would be beneficial because it's got Bible reader, Bible plans, personalization notes, friends, connections. There's a lot of different things, so make sure that you look at that. And then also, I want to thank all who were a part of the Valentine's dinner. I know Pete and Maria were a part, Leo and Nancy, Martha, Paige, Michelle Yee, Vicky Box, and Cindy and Pam, and all the children that were a part, Dustin and Lori and Forrest. So if you came and were a part, we really had a good time. And just give everybody a hand clap. So it was good stuff. So let's begin this morning with a word, but let's begin also with a word of prayer. So Corey, would you lead us in a word of prayer this morning? Amen. Let me ask y'all a couple questions as we begin this morning. Have you ever really thought what the true meaning of having a relationship with God actually means? Have you ever sat down and really pondered, you know, and gave a lot of think to it? What does it mean for me to have a relationship with God? Another question, why do you think that we, in all of our kind of feebleness, believe that the more we learn and the more we do gives us a better understanding of God and draws us closer to God? We've grown up in our Christian life to go, you need a relationship with God. We need to learn and we need to do. But how does that help us in our Christian life? The first Bible passage that I want us to look at today is John 14 and verse 6. And Jesus is saying, he says, I'm the way and I'm the truth. And I am the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. We grow up today, I think, in a society where people go, there's a lot of multi points of access to get to God. But there's only one point. There's only one access point for us to get to God. A lot of people go, well, there's a lot of multi points for us to live this Spirit-empowered life, but again, there's only one access point, and the point is that if we are going to have access to God, there's one starting point, and the point is Jesus Christ. If you went out and built a home, might be a $1 million home, we could go to Builder Square and we could buy all the brand new extension cords that we wanted to get. And we could go to all of our neighbors around our house and we could go, could we plug in our extension cord and we could bring those extension cords to our house. Oh, we could plug up our ice boxes and refrigerators and freezers and coffee pots and microwaves and air conditioners. We can plug everything we gotta. But what we need to understand is that that is an outsourced power. And I promise you, sooner or later, your neighbors are gonna go, I'm gonna be unplugging your power because my light bill is too much. And what we have to begin to understand, there's only one source, and the source is God. And you have to understand that there's only one access point, and truly that is Jesus Christ. So for us to provide power to our homes, you need a power pole, an access pole. And then you need a supplier that will provide the power. And those two have to be connected together. I don't remember what storm it was. I don't know if it was Ike or Katrina, but I remember Mom and Dad were still alive. Dad had to be on a breathing machine. And he had to take breathing treatments, and he had a sleep apnea machine, so he had to have power. So Brother Mike McLean allowed us to borrow a generator set. I'll never forget this. You know, Dad's over there at the house. It's hot. It's miserable. He never had a lot of patience. Boy, we got the generator. Well, one of the things is you got to fill it up with gas, okay? It's just one of the challenges with the generator. Got to make sure it doesn't run out of gas. So, boy, I got a couple cans of gas. Man, I got the brand new extension cord, the big one, so I wouldn't heat it up. I ran it over to Mom and Dad's house. I hooked up his breathing machine and hooked up his sleep apnea machine and had one big fan in the living room for him, and I went, they're okay. Man, we had stayed up all night long because of the storm, and I remember I am so tired. So my couch was right there. I had a little table. I had my own little fan, and I put my fan on the table. I plugged my fan into my extension cord, got my pillows set right where I wanted them to be. I was about to lay down, going, boy, this is going to feel good. I turned on the fan, and the blade on my fan was going, I went, okay, something's got to give. So I walk over to Dad's house. The refrigerator's hooked up with another extension cord. Microwave is hooked up. The coffee pot is hooked up. Both televisions are hooked up. Everything in my daddy's house is hooked up. And I went, really? He said, yeah, boy, you need to thank Brother Mike for this generator. I said, you thank him because I ain't got enough power to turn my fan in my house. Something's got to give. And the gist with this is that, you know, the generator would only provide enough outsourced power to help, but it wasn't enough to help everybody. Look at John 8 and verse 12. Then Jesus again spoke to them and he says, I am the light of the world. And he who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have light of life. We know that Jesus is the light to a dark world. We also know that Jesus now sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And if Jesus sits, that means that the work that he's going to do is done. And if he's done all he's going to do, then somebody has to pick up where he left off. And the people that have to pick up where he left off are sitting in this room. Amen. Now, look at Matthew 5 and 14. It says, you are the light of the world. Well, the you that he's talking about is all of us. It says, a city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket. But you put it on the lampstand, and it gives light to all of those who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works. For one reason, to glorify your Father who is in heaven. Yes. Today, when we had, and it was an awesome prayer time prior to the first service today, many people prayed that the Spirit would fall. Many people prayed that there would be signs and wonders in our church, and I too want that. And I sat over here up against the wall, and God said to me, but Keith, why do you want it? And I think it's a question for all of us. Our vision statement for our church is changing lives through Christ. But if we want signs and wonders, why do we want it? What's the purpose behind a sign and a wonder in a church? Is it to draw the attention to ourselves? Or honestly, is it to draw attention to God? You know, I have always been, and, you know, years ago when our church kind of moved from the Baptist church and we began to get Assembly of God and we got more Pentecostal and more charismatic people in our church, we had a meeting at Brother Mike Hogg's house and we sat down and we talked, and then myself and Mike McLean went up to John Hagee's church and we talked to them about the Holy Spirit. And one of the things that I came up with in the midst of this, I don't want to play games. If we're going to have signs and wonders, then I want real signs and wonders in our church. I don't want to play games. I don't want people to act like bumbling idiots. I want the real deal, or I don't want it. So I thought to myself when we went through this, how do I show the church where we are? And God said, do it this way. Here is a lamp. Now, the idea behind any lamp is that when it's plugged into the source, electricity comes through a cable, a cord. There's a switch, you break the switch, it opens up the line, and all of a sudden there's power to the light, okay? I will date myself when I say this, but I think most of us remember that on Fridays in my school, when I was in elementary school, there were show and tell. Yeah, some of the kids going, what the world is show and tell? But show and tell is that you'd bring something, you would show it, and you would tell about it. Well, that's where church life is today. We come in church on Sunday morning, we open up the Bible, and I show you the passages, and I tell you about the Word of God. But what we're missing is the experience. Now, here's what I want to do. Karen, turn all the lights off, if you would. Don't be dark. Don't be dark. Okay. Brother John, here is, come on up here. Here is an extension cord, or a cord.
Yes, sir.
Now, I'm going to show you that here's a light, okay? Now, this light is supposed to illuminate, all right?
Yes, sir.
Now, this cord is supposed to be plugged into a source. Allegedly, you turn on this switch over here. Power comes through the light, and boom, the light shines. So I want you, if you would, plug it into that source right there. Wow! It works! Okay? Now, Brother John, turn that back on. Wow! It works! You can see. Here's what I want us to see. Prior to me showing Brother John this light, it was a show and tell experience. Yeah, I could sit here and go, you know, gosh, Brother John, here's the deal. It's a light, and it's got an extension cord, and you plug it into the source, and when you plug it into the source, the power comes into the switch. But we have the option in our lives today to sit in the darkness. Or we have the right to come over here with boldness and turn on the light. Amen. The problem today is that we like this because it's more comfortable. Joe Middleton, my daughter's mother-in-law lives in the house behind us, and her water heater went out. So, you know, I went over and put a new water heater in the house. There's three wires to it. It doesn't take a brain wizard to fix it up. Got it all fixed up. Everything was good. Turned on the water. Mike, it was just as cold before. I'm like, what in the world is going on? Ryan came over. Ryan looked at it. He did all that kind of stuff. Turned on the water, and it was still cold. So we call out this mechanic or this electrician, and he goes, well, I think it's the breaker. Well, that's where it stops for me because I don't play the breaker boxes, okay? So the guy sits over there, and he asks me, who has no clue at all, he says, is this a double pull 30? I don't know. He goes, is this single phase or double phase? I don't know. All I know is this, that when I turn on the plug, that the light's supposed to shine. And when we turn on the water heater, the water's supposed to be warm. That's all I know. And even better, that's all I want to know. I don't care. But the church is out of place today. We don't know if we need a double pull 30, 40, or 50, because most of us don't even know what a double pull means. But I'm here to tell you today that we need the light. And you and I have got to get to the place, no matter how it makes us feel, I even went out and bought me a little electric tester. I moved up in the world. I could put it in the socket and go, there's power coming from this circuit. But church, here's what I got for all of us today that we've got to get to a place to understand. That you and I have got to understand that there's a power pole. Without the power pole, you and I have no access to the source. But if we get the source and we have obtained the power pole, then the supplier brings the power, and then you and I have power, but then we've got to be willing to get over here to turn on the light, because it is the pole that is provided to the supplier, but it's the supplier that brings the experience in our life. And we're not there. When we mention signs and wonders, people go, ooh. And I'm kind of there because I don't want to play games with it. One time in my life when I preached at that church, and I have shared that with you guys, I got up there and I preached and I walked in the door. I had prepared. Pastor's wife said to me, oh, Pastor Keith, we got a problem. She said, the guy that we originally asked, and I thought, wait a minute, you originally asked somebody before you asked me? And then he said, yeah, and he showed up.
Oh, man.
And what we're asking you to do is preach about 10 minutes. How dare you ask me that? I got to tell you, I had an attitude. I said, I don't even need to preach. Oh, no, please, please, Pastor, preach. So I got up, did my little 10-minute still, sat down in the chair, and I still got me an attitude going on. The pastor that was originally supposed to speak, he got up, and I got to tell you, you know what his subject was on? Attitudes. I was turning in the Bible, and it's like, yes, Lord, I hear you. He began to preach, and I went, Lord, I am so sorry for the attitude that I had. And everything he said was about me, and it hurt. Because my attitude was bad. You know, how dare you call me and not allow me to preach? Who do you think you, I mean, you know, so I got up there, and after she said, I want the two pastors that preached. I was thinking, oh, I spoke, he preached. But y'all come on up. So we came up, and as I'm walking up, someone in the midst of the crowd begins to speak in tongues. Yeah, that's how I felt, Holy Jesus. Took about 5 minutes for it to be interpreted, but I felt that there was such a calm. And I went, this is a real deal. It edified the church and met every biblical parameter that you and I could find in Scripture. So the lady comes up and she puts her hands on me and she begins to pray. She begins to speak in tongue. I'm still comfortable with it. Got no clue what she's saying. Ron Bass was with me that night and I fell down on the ground. And y'all know me, I don't play this stuff. You know, I don't go looking for it. I didn't do any of that kind of stuff, but I went on the ground. And I laid on the ground, and I didn't want to get up. It was probably one of the most comfortable places I had ever been in my life. And we got in the car, and I drove home, and Ron says, Pastor, what's wrong? And I said, well, what do you mean? He said, you ain't talking. I said, I got nothing to say. And then I said, Ron, I do. I got two questions. I said, what happened? Did someone knock me down? Someone trip me? He went, no, Pastor, you just melted like a piece of butter. And then all of a sudden, in the midst of that, there was some guy that was running around the room barking like a dog. And he was running into people and knocking them down. And then he'd speak in tongues. And, you know, I said to myself, what happened to me and that pastor were real. What's happening right here is drawing attention to him. Yes. And that's not right. And my spirit wasn't comfortable with that. But I say all that to say this, is that I want signs and wonders in our church. I want the Spirit of God to fall on this church like it's never fallen before. Brother Mike sent me a deal last night, and I looked at it, and there was a man who had a word of prophecy that said 2018 is going to be the year of divine interruption. Of what we thought it's going to be, God's going, no, it's not. Because I think our God is going to go, I'm the one that's in control and you're not. And I think God is looking at men and women who are willing to submit to him no matter, that are willing to come over here to go, you know, it has been so dark in my church. It has been so dark in my home. It's been so dark in my life. I'm going to turn the light on through the Word of God. Give God a hand clap of praise. We listen every day about the condition of our world. Pam and I have talked, and I know that there's all different kinds of feelings in our church because we have 23 different nationalities in our church. But one of the things that really touched me, we can change all the laws that we want to change in this society. We can pull back the laws that we already have if we want. We can put the highest border walls up around America that we want, or we can tear them all down. You and I could sit there and go, okay, let's pull all the guns away from the people, or let's just flood society with guns. But here's the deal. The only thing that's going to make a true change in our society is a heart change. Amen. I'm not advocating changing laws or tearing down walls or taking away our rights. I'm not advocating any of that. But I don't want a temporary solution. I want a permanent solution, and the only permanent solution that we can have is to have a heart change. And a heart change, church, is never going to happen till you and I learn that you got to have a power pole, and you got to have a source, and you got to connect the two together, and you got to have the boldness to come over and go, I want to turn on the source in my life so that I can be the light in a dark world. Only way it's going to happen. God created man to fellowship with him. And we know that sin broke the fellowship. We also know that God wrote a list of standards for man to follow. And again, we know that sin broke those standards. And we know that God looked down upon this world and saw you and me and went, they are in trouble, so he left the heavenlies and he came here. We know for 30 years he walked as a man upon this earth. And in the last 3 years of his life, he was baptized with the Holy Spirit. And we know that his ministry actually began. And what he did is that he demonstrated to the world a behavior that would create a heart change in those that he touched. And one of the things that we're afraid of today is that, you see, Jesus went out and touched the untouchables. Jesus went out and he healed those that were unhealable. Jesus went out and he touched the people that never smiled, and he gave them a smile. He went out to people that hated him and showed compassion. And what Jesus wanted us to see is that you and I got to get connected to the source. And if you get connected to the source, you got the power to do a heart change. But he said, it's not about rules. It's not about laws. It's not about walls. It is about a connection with God above. Look at John 15 and 4. Karen, you can turn the lights back on. John 15, 4 says, abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you abide in me. And what Jesus wanted the people to understand is this, is that it's about abiding. It's about connection. It's about us being with him. You know, when we go, what does it mean to have a relationship? You know, a relationship isn't something far away. A relationship is when you're connected. Mark 2 and 4 says, as he passed by, he saw Levi. And he said to Levi, follow me. Jesus knew that there had to be a connection. Matthew 26 and 40. He went to go pray, and he was in a mess because he knew what was coming. And he got back, and his disciples were sleeping. And he says to his disciples, you can't stay and watch with me for an hour. And again, it was about, I need the connection. You need me, and I need you. Amen. And then John 21 and verse 19 says, so when they got up out of the boat on the land, they saw the charcoal fire, and you know, there was a dinner being cooked. And Jesus wanted them to know more than ever the most important things. He wanted his disciples to see it. He wanted us to see it. He said, what we need is a personal connection, church. You know, one of our greatest challenges with the light today is that, you know, we turn the light on and through our actions, we unplug it. And then we want to know how come the church is powerless today. And the church is powerless because we have no power. The source is there. All you got to do is go plug into it. And all you got to do is have the boldness to turn it on. It's there. But God says what this church needs, what all churches need, is a connection. Look at John 3 and verse 3. Jesus answered and he said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can't enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? And Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is the Spirit. Jesus knew Nicodemus, and he was his buddy. He knew him. But he also knew where Nick was. And he knew that what Nick needed is something that he didn't have and something that he couldn't get unless he was born again. Nicodemus was dead in sin. And he hadn't plugged into the source. And he says, Nick, what you have to do is be born again. And many people in the church today go, oh, so I got to climb back up mama's womb. And the Lord goes, no. What you got to do is that which was dead needs to be brought back to life. And the only way that which is dead could be brought back to life is obtain the power pole, get to source, unite them together, and turn on the switch. And then we can be born again. Many people base their relationships today with the Lord on what they call intellectual assent, head knowledge. And I want you to think about this. The Great Commission even tells us that we need to make disciples. But one of the problems that we do is that we pour into people and we pour into people, and it's like our computers. You can keep on putting stuff in and apps and programs, and all of a sudden your computer's going to shut down because it can't handle all that information. And we treat discipleship in the same manner. We give them all the information. We do the show and we do the tell. And it almost seems as if school never ends. I pull this from a quote out of a book, but it says, graduations are celebrated today at cemeteries, where coffins and suits are now the caps and the gowns. And it's where people stand around those that are in the grave to go, oh, he was spiritually mature. Oh, he studied every day. But church, I got to tell you that there's a lot of people who know about God. There's very few people that know God. And I'm not telling you that it's not important to know God, but it's equally important to know Him personally in our lives. Amen. If by some chance Jesus goes, the most important thing for us to do is to learn and do, why in the world would Jesus turn over the keys to His kingdom to a group of uneducated misfits? Church, hear me when I say it. Learning is vital. Studying is vital. Meditating on the Word of God is vital. We need home cells and Bible studies to teach people. And I want people to know who Jesus is. I want people to know that God is the God of God and the King of kings and the Lord of lords. I want them to know that. But church, what I want them to know is not just know Him or about Him. What I want the church to do is to somehow in the midst of this have a connection with Him. I want us to move from just knowing about to actually knowing Him personally so that you and I could have a connection in our lives. Look at Mark in chapter 8. It says, for what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and to forfeit his soul? You know, it's going to be a sad day when the trumpet sounds and Jesus comes back to get his folks. And if it happens on a Sunday morning, there's going to be a whole lot of people on the front row of the churches across this world who goes, but Lord, I. And the Lord's going to say to them, go away. I never knew who you were. See, it's not about doing. And candidly, it's not all about learning. It's about knowing. And somehow in the midst of this, we've got to get to the place to go, the most important thing in my life is to know Him. See, only when you and I are willing to embrace God's open doors will the doing and the learning take a new meaning in our life. Look at John 5 and 19. It says, therefore Jesus answered, and He was saying, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of Himself unless it is something He sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. Amen. See, if I don't plug into the source, all that is learning and head knowledge. But yet the Bible tells us that we can do the same things that Jesus did. Well, if I don't ever turn on the source, I'll never do what Jesus did. I know that if I understand that this is the pole, the source pole, and I understand that this is the supplier, and I understand if the supplier gets connected to the pole that I'll have power, that's wonderful. But you and I've got to go, well, there's more to this, because if I really know him, then the part for me is that I know him because if I plug into the source, I get the power, and the source turns it all into an experience. As trivial as that was, and if John never ever saw a light before, no longer is that show and tell, because he plugged it in, turned the switch on, it now becomes a reality to him that what Pastor said is that the power comes out, I turn the switch on, and the light shows, and that's a reality in my life. I'm telling you today that God wants to engage in those who are willing to follow him. That was the lives of the disciples, and that's the life for you and me today. A relationship leads to the source leads to the experience, and the experience, church, leads to this spirit-empowered life. I looked last night in the book of Mark, and, you know, in the 16th chapter, and most of our Bibles say, when it talks about these are the signs that accompany them that believe, a lot of manuscripts today or transcripts will say that was not in the original manuscript. Okay, let's just say that that's not even there. Let's just push it aside. But let's go back to the Great Commission. The Bible tells us, go out and teach all the things that I have commanded you. And one of the things that our God tells us to teach, church, you can do the same things that I did. And even greater things can you do. See, church, we're going to have to get to the place in our life is that we know, Leo prayed this morning, and he prayed that our children would be released from the bondage of drugs. Well, see, Leo needs to become Moses, because I know that Leo has obtained the service pole. And I know that the service pole has been plugged into the supplier. And I know that you've turned on the switch. And I know today that you could go to whoever that person is, and that you could go to them and you could say, today, in Jesus' name, I'm going to impart the word of God to you. And I'm going to tell you today, through the word of God, that the word is truth, and the truth, my brother, will set you free. Amen. But you see, we've got to have the boldness to go and do it. I know that Oscar has been suffering for a year and a half now with an issue. Can I share?
Yes, of course.
He'd been suffering with shingles. One of the most painful things that anybody can go through, because it exposes the nerves of his body. Well, if God opens the door, and I'm not here today just because, but I believe God has opened the door. This is the first time Oscar's been here because he hasn't had transportation. But the Bible says God will embrace those who are willing to step through the door and to do what he's asked you to do. And I believe that the Bible says by the stripes of Jesus Christ, amen, that this man is healed. Amen. And the Bible says in the book of James, call the elders of the church, anoint ye with oil, and pray in Jesus' name. And today, I'm going to put my hands on your body. I'm going to tell you today through the word of God that is imparted from me to you, that the word will not come back void.
That's right.
And that what God designed the word to do, that it's doing this very moment.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you today that God is going to touch your body.
Amen.
I don't know when he's going to touch it, but I know he's going to touch it. And I'm not asking for healing. Today, I'm asking that God touch you with a miracle.
Amen.
And that your body is healed from the top of your head all the way to the bottom of your feet. For one reason. Because we got the source. Everybody in this room knows people.
Yes.
And everybody in this room's got challenges.
Yes.
And we've done this before, and I'm going to ask us to do it again today. Ask God, send me to somebody in this church. Give me the discernment to go, I know that Oscar's got a problem. You had a problem. God's got the problem. You ain't got it no more. God's got the problem. Pastor D, come up. But here's what I want us to do. Ask God, who do you want me to go pray for? Maybe someone doesn't even know the power pole at all. Maybe you need to go them to go, do you know Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior? Because you see, you're the light in the world today, church. You're the one that needs to go into the dark world and share Christ. You're the one that needs to go, let me share with you the pole. And then let me show you how the pole connects to the source. And then I want to show you through the teachings that God gave me how to go over and just turn on the source.
Amen. I believe very much.
So, church, I'm going to ask you to stand today. Maybe some of y'all just want to come to the altar and pray, and that's wonderful. But ask God, send me to somebody in this church. Give me a discerning spirit to go, I don't know what problem you got, but I know you got one, and I just want to pray for you. And then, church, with the boldness of God above, just go do what he's asked you to do. Pastor D.